Hey shippers, we're here to do our Shakespeare of the season.
Whoop whoop! Bringing it back to the Billy Shakes himself. We're talking Othello and Desdemona. Do we ship it? Listen to find out.
Hi everyone, I'm Steph.
And I'm Devin.
And as we said in our intro, today is our Shakespeare episode. We always like to do a Shakespeare or a classic play during one of our seasons. So season 5, we decided to do Othello. Because what? We've done Macbeth, Romeo and Juliet, and Midsummer Night's Dream? Or
Macbeth, Juliet, not Midsummer Night's Dream, we did Hamlet.
Oh, Hamlet, yes. So really, we're kind of running
apparently
out
we,
of...
Apparently we really like the...
Drama.
Oh, we also did Taming of the Shrew.
Oh, yes.
But no.
And we did 10 Things I Hate About You in combination.
Yes, in comparison to it. Yeah. But we really like our tragedies, apparently. So
we do. Man, I'm here for it.
We need to return to the comedies.
And you know what? I will say I enjoyed Othello much more on this read than I did in high school.
Really?
I can't say that I love the couple. We're going to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about
but
it.
But I enjoyed reading it because when I you'll hear Miss Jane is joining
babes.
Us today. Let's see if I can feed her and get her to be quiet for us. Like I was saying before, I enjoyed Othello this time. When I was in high school, I had a tough relationship with it. I really loved Hamlet. I loved the inner struggle. But I always felt like this tale was a little pointless. I don't know.
We also talked about in that class, like, I feel like at the very end of the class, we were like, wow, we read some really dark material. Like, everything was, like, Wuthering Heights. And then we read Frankenstein, or, like, we talked about Frankenstein. And we, what else did we read? I think we also read Hamlet and Othello in the same season. Like, it was a lot of just, like,
a lot of
heavy
dark
material.
Stuff. So this is different for us now, like, this season. Because I feel like this season, we've gotten a lot into the fantasy. Mm-hmm. So now we're kind of taking a step back and going back to our Shakespeare roots here. But Othello... Hi, Jane.
she's making her voice heard.
But Othello was interesting. And actually, Jane did listen to Othello with me in the car.
So she has her feelings. She has some opinions.
So she's got some feelings to share as well.
That's understandable.
She's smiling.
Hi, babes.
But yes, before we get into all of that, I wanted to ask Devin my random question
of
the day.
Here we go.
Get ready, Devin.
Watch out.
All right. I have to think of one first. Because I don't have the arms to use my random question generator.
Do you want me to look one up?
Oh, no. What was your favorite year in high school?
Oh. I feel like I enjoyed my junior year the most. There's not as much stress your junior
That's
year
true.
Because you don't have to worry about, like, graduating.
Yeah. I know.
Everyone feels like their senior year is the best, and I don't know. I feel like I enjoyed my junior year the most. Because I'm a theater nerd, so
I remember.
The junior season was my favorite in terms of the shows that we did.
What shows did you do? I forget.
We did It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, and that was a good one.
Oklahoma.
And you were
and
that
just
angry
the casts,
farmer
we were really...
guy.
Yes, I was Judd Fry.
Yes, yes.
The evil one.
Evil one. I think my favorite year in high school, I was just about to say my favorite season, but honestly, I'm not, it wasn't seasons. My favorite year in high school, because my life is not a TV show, I recognize.
Could be.
My favorite, I guess, my favorite year in high school was definitely 10th grade.
Really?
It's the year I met, or didn't meet. It's the year I started dating Tom. And it was also just really good. It was the first year I really started to blossom in volleyball. And it was just a lot of fun things.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed
it. We also kind of got gypped because we only had 3 years at the high school level.
I know. Oh, yes, Jade. I'm sorry.
Hi,
this
baby.
Be a distraction.
We're just going to have her the entire time.
Yes,
and she's
going to
make me all distracted. But it's okay. We're going to get through this together. That's my Jade.
It's
going to
be great. So let me give you our summary, if I can get through it. Let me give her this rattle. So as far as Othello goes, like I said, I enjoyed it a lot more this time. The way it starts, we see Desdemona's father freaking out. He's like, where is Desdemona? Oh my gosh. And all these people are like telling him, she's with Othello. She's with Othello, man. And he doesn't believe it. But then finally it's proven to him, oh, she's with Othello. So they think Othello was a bad guy and stole her. But in reality, Othello, you know, persuades the group, and then Desdemona tells them the truth that, no, she just loves Othello. He told her stories of his travels, and she fell in love with him. It's that simple. So she fell in love with him, and they were enjoying each other's company. They were married, but they didn't consummate. That's one of the big things. Throughout this whole thing, Othello is just trying to consummate, and he can't do it. But so anyway, Iago, this villain, which Iago is the name of some kind of Disney character that I'm forgetting now. That's
the parrot.
The parrot, yes. Iago. So
in Aladdin.
In Aladdin, that's what it is. So Iago, like, hates Othello. So he concocts this whole plan. There's this other character, I forget his name, honestly, that's in love with Desdemona. And Iago concocts this whole plan to make Othello think that Desdemona is
Ricardo?
Cheating on him.
Is that his name?
I think something like that. Rodrigo, maybe?
Rodrigo.
Yeah, so anyway.
Ricardo. Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
I don't know, honestly. But so slowly, Iago, like, tapers away at Othello's trust of Desdemona. And the guy at first doesn't believe him. But then at some point, he finds her handkerchief, because Iago planted it, in the other guy's hands. And Othello's like, it's proof. So he plans.
And Cassio.
To kill. Yeah, Cassio. Cassio, that's the name I was looking for. Cassio.
Oh.
So he freaking plans not only to kill Cassio or have Iago kill him, but to kill Desdemona. And so he does. He strangles her. And then her lady's maid comes in and says, oh my gosh, here's the whole story. You're wrong. And Othello's, like, devastated. And then you see Desdemona wake up. And then she says she changes the story to that she took her own life. Which, I don't get that flip of the story. I think it's just to prove that she's even more innocent and still cares about Othello. But I don't really know. And then in the end, Othello is just losing his mind. Does he kill himself? I forget.
He does.
Okay, then he kills himself. So that's Shakespeare, another tragedy, another fun tragedy, as we're saying. But honestly, I never, like I said, I never really used to like this in high school. It felt like another one of those Romeo and Juliet kind of pointless tragedies. Like, why is everyone dying? What the heck?
Get out of here.
But I actually really enjoyed it this time for a few reasons that we're going to talk about. Okay, so I'm just going to move forward with some questions, if you're good with that, Debbie.
Let's do this thing.
All right, so let's start. Desdemona has the choice of many suitable matches, but she chooses Othello even despite his racial difference. Why? What draws these two together?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that Shakespeare is really throwing his audience with a curveball in terms of, this isn't like the quote-unquote traditional marriage. It is a interracial couple getting together. And I mean, back in the day, that was huge.
Yeah.
So I think it's really interesting that he's like stirring the pot a little bit and getting a little bit controversial in a way. So to answer the root question here, what draws them together? I think it's innocence in a way. Desdemona is very young and innocent. So when she starts to hear these stories, she starts to get to know Othello more on a personal level versus just like, oh, he's my dad's captain of the guard or whatever the official title that he has. Like, she gets to know him more on a deeper level. And when he begins to like tell her these stories of his fantasies, quote unquote fantasies, and going off and these wars, and it's all this, it's not just the fantasy world of it all, but also that he's putting himself in danger for the protection of her in a way, and in for her family and her dad and the whole realm that they're protecting. So it's all this like courageousness that she feels for him, and also a little bit of kind of like sadness and pain as well for what he's going through.
Yeah.
That really draws her closer to
sure.
him.
I think Desdemona likes him because he's different. She likes his mm-hmm. stories of traveling, and she is just intrigued by this guy who's been all around the world and done all of these things.
Yeah.
I think maybe she's a little bit, I don't want to say naive, but she's sheltered. She's sheltered. She,
yes, exactly.
So when she meets Othello and he's just weaving tales of like amazing feats that he's accomplished, she falls in love with him. He's also just mm-hmm. a different guy in general. He's a merchant or something, right? I'm forgetting his trade. But she's very interested in him, and everyone thinks he's got a great character. So
right.
I see why this couple comes together. But I think in Desdemona's case, like the reason that she so uniquely chooses him is because of his experiences.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think it totally is the experiences. I'm trying to look and see what he's a general of the armies of Venice.
Yes. Okay. Okay. I don't know why I thought he was a merchant.
And then she's the daughter of the Venetian senator.
Right.
But she's very like pure and meek and
she
innocent.
She is pure.
And she's pure from beginning to end.
Yep.
Like she tries to maintain that sense of, ooh, I just hit my arm. She tries to maintain that sense of, I'm using my hands, obviously talking because I don't know, throughout. And she is so loyal to him. And we'll talk more about that later as well. But
she is loyal to him. That's the irony of the whole thing.
Yeah.
He cannot trust her for crap. And she is loyal as a dog. Like it's mm-hmm. crazy.
But we'll jump into the next piece.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, quote, "She loved me for the dangers I had passed, and I loved her that she did pity them." This is how Othello describes how he and Desdemona fell for each other.
Mm-hmm.
What does this tell you about their relationship? What kind of relationship is portrayed in this passage?
In my eyes, it's a little inauthentic because he's telling her tales that he's obviously embellished. Like, he may have done all of these great things, but he may not have done them in the way he's telling them. And it's not like she's drawn to him.
She's not getting a complete picture.
Right. She's not drawn to his authentic character. This is what they talk about when people are like, why are you with Othello and why are you with Desdemona? The first and only thing they bring up is his experiences, which makes sense because, like I said, she's sheltered and she's intrigued by his life, which is cool and all, but it doesn't get to the heart of the matter. They don't trust each other. They don't really know each other. And I think that's why Othello's able to fall into such disarray. It's because he doesn't know the woman he says he loves.
Yeah, I agree with you in that they don't have that strong foundation.
Yeah.
They don't know each other on a much deeper level. And therefore,
the trust just isn't there.
Yes, they don't have that strong enough foundation that when troubles arise, they can overcome it. They just shatter and crumble.
Yeah, they just fall apart.
So I agree. I think this is a relationship built on a little bit of a fantasy. I think that they portray this more idealistic view of love.
Mm-hmm.
So enveloped in the idea of what love is, that they don't go deep enough. It's totally surface level of like, ooh, he's kind of handsome. He's a little bit older for me, but like, whatever.
He's intriguing.
He has all this experience and he's mysterious and he's strong.
Right.
And he's loyal to my dad and blah, 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 blah. Like it's all these things that like are so totally surface level that don't really get to the
surface
meat of
level
everything.
Is the right way to put it. That's how they view each other.
But I don't think it has, this isn't enough of the roots. And when they are confronted with like, why did you fall? Like, tell me how you fell in love or tell me more about like, is this true?
Right.
They are both like honest. They are both upfront and say like, yeah, we do love each other. But I don't think they know what
that really means.
Right. Like
in this time period, does anyone, like, is anyone's reason for getting married good? Like, Iago's wife doesn't know what the heck he's up to, honestly. Mm-hmm. She, like, I think
or
there's
what
a
even,
lot.
Even what he thinks of her.
I know. There's a lot of issues going on in these relationships of the time But I guess, like, of all the reasons people might get married in this time, being intrigued with one another is one of the better ones. But just based on, like, our modern perspective of why people right. love each other, it's not a very strong case still.
Yeah. I think they rushed very quickly into this relationship instead of going slowly. But again, as we are envisioning this in the time period, like, this was when arranged marriages were a thing. Yeah. This is when, like, you had to marry for a status versus love, really. So I see the workings of a relationship. I don't see a fully grounded relationship.
It's like they're dating. Like, that's how I feel. They're dating, but
they're courting.
They're actually married for some reason. So let's talk a little bit more about the marriage then. When Desdemona marries Othello, they neglect to ask for her father's permission to the courtship and wedding. Why do you think they chose to do so in secrecy? And is it right to leave the father out of this decision?
So this is kind of like, I guess I kind of put like a modern spin on it.
I think so, like, but it's a fair question.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think they did it in secrecy because of the backlash of the interracial couple.
But not only that, you saw the backlash of people when they found out anyway. Correct. So I don't think that they thought people would have let them.
Because it's not like it's a aged thing that kind of would deter them to want to do this in secrecy. It's a little bit of his rank and her status as the daughter. And I think it's a little bit of just that cultural different viewpoints that perspectives of interracial couples that really makes them forced to do it in secrecy in a way. But is it right to leave the father out of the decision?
I really don't think so, especially because of how it ends up. If you think about if you think about it, it just shows that they don't know each other or trust each other very much because her family is not even very involved. The guy who raised her, and I guess we don't really know their familial relationship. We have
like the opening scene where the father's like judging their relationship. Ooh, hello Alexa. Where the father's like judging the relationship at first, and then like they leave, what was the name of the country or the place?
Venice.
They leave, yeah. And then they go to this other location and the father's just like not present.
Right.
So he has a presence at the very beginning and
but that's kind of
questioning their love. And then he's like, oh, I guess this is true.
Okay.
But why did you leave me out of this?
Right, like, right. I know. It's kind of weird. Like, I definitely don't think it was the right decision to leave him out. But I understand why they did it. I just think if they didn't do it, so much stuff would be avoided. It's the same with Romeo and Juliet. Every one of these freaking stories, they try to leave the most important people out of communication, and it ends up screwing everything. If Desdemona was in better communication with her father, she could have perhaps talked to him about her issues with Othello. Yep. Perhaps they could have protected her from what was bound to happen. So I don't know. It wasn't the right decision, but I think it's stupid love that makes these kind of decisions.
And I think the father knows both of them well. Like, I think he's understanding of, he's spent enough time with his general to understand who he is as an individual. Maybe not the most intimate nature of him, but at least know the general, his values and sort. And he definitely knows his daughter. Mm-hmm. Like, he's understanding of who she is, but I feel like if he would have been more present, if they would have allowed him to be present in the relationship, he could have been a good mentor and role model in assisting them. Whether that's true or not, I have no idea, but I feel like that could have been one way to assist their relationship
for sure.
Cool. So who does Othello ultimately care about more, Desdemona or himself?
I'm not sure where you're going with this question, Devin, but in the end, if you look at what happens, he cares more about himself. I'm sorry to say it, because yes, maybe at the beginning he cares more about Desdemona's heart and feelings, but the moment that he catches wind that she may be lying to him, he doesn't actually seek the truth. He doesn't actually seek to prove her innocent. He's completely dead set on getting his revenge.
Yeah, and he's worried more about his reputation as well.
Yes, exactly. And I can't stand that crap, honestly. Like, I get that you think she did something wrong, But yeah. She has every right to be innocent and proven guilt until proven guilty. I mean, mm-hmm. of course, that's a very westernized thought. So another like just different. But still, I have a hard time with him because he's supposed to be like this strong man and he unfolds completely and loses it. And then like completely just does not care about Desdemona's side of the story because Iago's able to stir him up. It's ridiculous. I'm very opinionated about this.
She's getting fired up, guys. Watch out.
I am.
I think he does have a desire to care for Desdemona, but it changes very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
He sends her on a safer trip. Like he's like when they leave, he makes sure that she's protected and safe and mm-hmm. that she goes with him to this place. She doesn't want to leave him alone. They just got married, so he doesn't necessarily just want to like say adios right. and ditch her for who knows how long. So he definitely like cares for her.
I know.
But he allows his own personal intentions to get in the way of their relationship.
He cares more about himself. I think that's what that's what it gets down to. He cares more about his own revenge than even if he cared about her more than himself. Even if he left her, he wouldn't have killed her. He would have left her. Like, he wouldn't have... He had to prove to everyone that
right.
he had the situation under control and his vengeance was the important thing.
Right. He couldn't let this ruin him.
Right. Which it ended up doing so. So
more than you know,
for God's
buddy.
Sake, Othello, what are you doing? Like, I'm sorry, but...
Boy. Okay.
So, just diving a little deeper into that topic... some critics have argued that Othello's love of Desdemona is ultimately self-centered. Would you agree? Does this mean that without Iago, they would have lived happily ever after?
I don't know. Is his love self-centered? It depends on when you view the situation. As we said, we do think that he has this more selfish view, but is his love self-centered? I don't know. I think he has tendency to be more me-focused versus us-focused. So does that mean that without Iago, they would have lived happily ever after? I don't. No, because
I'm not really
like
sure either.
We said earlier, like, they didn't have a strong foundation to wither the issues and the conflicts that came their way, the storms that arose. But if not for Iago, like, what would it have been if it wasn't Iago? Like, what next would have they faced and not have been able to overcome that?
Perhaps
hurdle, like.
They would have had more time to learn to trust each other. It was very sudden in the beginning of their relationship right. that this happened. But I do think just based on Othello's blind belief in whatever everyone else is saying about his wife, I do believe he's easily stirred up and I don't think that it would have ended well. No matter who was stirring the pot. I guess, like, it sort of depends. Because maybe if he had more time to learn to trust her, he would have been able to. But did he have that just in his nature and in his temperament? Or, so was that just his nature? Was that just his temperament? Or did it all stem from the earliness of the relationship? I just don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah. Like, could the next storm have been that, oh, he's not spending enough time with me, he's off doing his own things? Like, what would have been that next thing that would have
the real
pulled
questions.
Pulled the feet out from under them?
Probably some other guy making eyes at Desdemona, because she's beautiful, and it's in her nature to be beautiful and kind and fair, and people probably would have wanted to look at her and woo her and everything.
Right.
And he probably couldn't have handled that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, even just... granted, it was Iago that planted the seed, but even just Cassio, like her and Cassio's relationship threw Othello
mm-hmm.
off his game.
Right.
And made him suspect more.
Right.
So I don't know. Could they live happily ever after? I don't know.
I think it's very undefined. I think that's the thing about this story that I think got me in high school. It's like there's not much to be learned about their characters through this story, right? Because it's such a random circumstance. Like, yeah. I guess the thing to be learned is they don't have, like, Othello doesn't have, like, patience enough to, like, learn the truth. But that could also just be because of how quick the relationship is. It's a very complicated situation.
I mean, most of the play is really just Othello and Iago.
Literally.
There's, like, Desdemona, like, popping in and out. But, like, the majority of the play is a lot of Iago talking to Rodrigo, or Iago talking to Cassio, Iago talking to Othello. Like, Iago is really, like, the main...
Well, really, he's the mastermind of the play. I would honestly consider him the main character, but yes, we will
talk about it that way, but yes. Cool. How does jealousy play a role in this story, and how does it affect relationships in our own lives?
I have to say, I love a good cutesy jealousy moment. Okay, if you're reading some young adult fan fiction and the guy's like not coming to terms with the fact that he likes the girl, then the jealousy stirs him to action. Love that. Not a fan of jealousy that leads you to kill your significant other. Just that is just red hot anger, and I am not for it. But honestly, jealousy plays every role in this story. Number one, Iago is jealous of whatever person took the role that he was supposed to take from Othello. He was supposed to work for him or something, and he was jealous, and that's the whole reason he, you know, made this plan. And then Rodrigo was jealous because he wanted Desdemona. Mm-hmm. And Desdemona wasn't jealous because she's perfect. And then Othello was obviously jealous because he thought that Cassio was sleeping with her. It is the story of how jealousy just creeps in and destroys, and people cannot control it. And that's mm-hmm. the thing. I think jealousy in real life tends to come across as more like the cutesy jealousy relationship that we tend to see. It's the really screwed up stories that stem from deep, red hot, jealous mm-hmm. anger. But something that is safe to say, in my opinion, is that jealousy never does anything good. There is caveats. Something... What?
Are there caveats?
I honestly don't think so. I think there's something good about healthy comparison, not comparing yourself to someone else, but comparing, like, situations and trying to understand the patterns that lead to them. But jealousy, being jealous of someone else's position or jealous of somebody else's relationship, it never leads to something good. It leads to inner turmoil or, God forbid, something even worse in between the people in the relationship. Right. So there's just a lot there. There's anger, lots of resentment, things that come with it. But it is fun to watch in like a cutesy romance novel. It's just not fun to watch in Othello, which is a better lesson to be learned, I think, for us than the cutesy jealousy relationship.
Yeah, I agree. I think, well, I mean, the root of all of this stems from jealousy.
Yeah.
Like, it spreads very quickly amongst, as you said, amongst a good majority of the cast of this play, and it wreaks havoc and leaves its mark across a lot of people's lives, and a lot of people are impacted by the effects of jealousy. Mm-hmm. And it goes to show, like, how something so tiny can, over time, create a lot of damage. I also like a little bit of jealousy.
It's a little bit fun when it's done right.
Like, you know, like Ron and Hermione and Harry. Like, yes. There's a little bit of like nice jealousy there.
I love some it.
Fun stuff. Mm-hmm. But Shakespeare does a great job at showing the
bad side.
The darkness of jealousy and how it really just tears people apart, and how it can be all consuming. This is a really big cautionary tale about how jealousy can be all consuming if you allow it to consume your mind.
Consume is the word for this mm-hmm. play. It's sort of similar to how Hamlet, I think consumption is something that, not consumption in the sense of eating, but just fully being consumed by your emotions is a Shakespeare thing. I mean, look at mm-hmm. Hamlet. He couldn't think or sleep or breathe or do anything besides killing his uncle, whatever. It's sort of, and Romeo constantly wanted what he couldn't have, that guy. It's just constantly these people are consumed by a passion. And I think that it can be sort of broadly said that Shakespeare is talking about the negative impacts of passions.
It's definitely a story of warning as to what might happen to one's own relationship and how having faith and believing. Being able to, like, as you said earlier, a conversation goes far. Speaking to people does miracles.
The fact that Othello, when he addressed this for the first time with her, she was like, what is going on? He's like, she's like, are you going to kill me? And he's like, yeah, I think so. And he didn't even give her time to explain herself. Yeah. He just said, no, I'm going to kill you. He's just like,
you better pray because it's going to happen.
You better pray because I'm coming after you, because look at all these things that Iago has told me and shown me. And she's like, that's not proof enough. But he doesn't give her any chance to say so. So,
yeah,
I mean, really obviously being like consumed by jealousy takes away, like, and I think that's a huge thing about relationships. We talk constantly about communication, but also about trust. Because even if your significant other has done the things that you think that they've done, they're still a valuable human being who's worthy of your time and at least trying to get to the bottom of the truth. Maybe they're not worthy of you staying in that relationship with them, but they're certainly not worthy of being killed by your hand. So I think you're right. Shakespeare is telling a story here of a man who is overwhelmed and consumed by his jealous passions. And that's really sad, because Desdemona is the sweet flower and she does nothing wrong.
Yeah, you're right.
But
so continuing.
Yes, moving on.
Desdemona's love.
No, I'm doing.
Oh, you're doing this one. That's
it's
right.
Fine. I don't really care that much for you. But Desdemona's love for Othello is unconditional. Even when he hits her and calls her a whore, which I have a lot to say about this, she still says that she loves him. At the end, she says she killed herself rather than to tell the truth and implicate Othello as a criminal. Is Desdemona's overwhelming love admirable? Should we pity Desdemona rather than admire her? Well, what would your advice to Desdemona be? Girl, get out of that relationship. Go run to your father's house. I'm sorry.
You're good. I added a lot of questions because it was like one thing led to another thing and led to another. So I just like, you know, lumped them all together. So, I mean, Desdemona really is like loyal to a fault.
That's just the irony.
I know. She's so supportive and like is his little cheerleader the entire time and only speaks highly of him no matter like how he reacts in his rage, in his frustration, in his anger towards her. She acts so positive and trying to understand him and trying to like pull him back to reality, and he just doesn't want anything to do with her. So, like we said, she ends up saying, like, he didn't kill me. I did this to myself. And she's so innocent. Like, she has no attachment to this.
She, like, there's says no it's attachment. My fault. And her nursemaid, whatever, is like, it's not her fault, even though she said it was. Like, I know this girl.
Yeah.
I cannot emphasize enough that Desdemona's loyalty is a fault in this case. Mm-hmm. I think it's just healthy and important that we say that first. Because I have been reamed out for way lesser things. Leaving the fridge open or not filling up the water. I have been reamed out for way lesser things, and I have not called my husband my lord in response. This woman, till the very end, her response is self-sacrificial. And when one person in the relationship is self-centered and the other is self-sacrificial, it's never going to work. I once heard something, I thought it was really beautiful, that a marriage will work best if you're both trying to outserve one another. That's like a huge thing.
That's perfect.
Right? It's great. If you're both trying to outserve one another, then no one is ever going to feel like they're, you know, underserved. Or maybe they'll feel that way, but it won't be the truth. In this case, Desdemona is literally crumbling into herself because of a false accusation that a man is making about her. And she's telling the truth about herself, but she's saying, hey, you know, what does she say? She's like, Lord, have pity on me. When he's telling her, you know, I'm going to kill you. All she says is, Lord, have pity on me. Like, give me another hour. Give me this. Give me that. No, like, I would try to strike him back. Are you kidding me? Defend yourself. And I know it's a different time. But I admire her loyalty until a certain point when it starts to get unhealthy.
I agree. I don't think this type of love that she has, this wholly idealistic view of it, is healthy. I think parts of it is, like, I like the idea of it, but because she is so putting this guy on a pedestal, like, she just puts this guy up there that she can't even support her own
cause. Self. Yeah.
So
it's really sad.
Yeah, we definitely, there's a lot of pity that goes towards her.
What would my advice be? Don't get married out until you're older, because clearly, like, and also, like, don't marry a guy that you just met. But anyway, that's just my opinion. Yeah, I feel like that's just all of our advice to every Disney princess and, like, every Shakespearean, like, girl, is just wait to get married.
I think she needs a little bit more soul searching and to just stick up for herself as well.
Yes,
like,
yes.
But I don't know what the right words to say to this person would be, who's like, who feels so small compared to how big Othello is.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, what do you say to someone who feels like they're stuck? And I don't know, like, I don't know. Like, it gets better.
Apparently, it doesn't, is the issue.
That's what I mean. Like, I don't know what the right advice to
in this moment. I honestly think the best advice is to get her as far away from him as possible.
Correct.
The moment he started insinuating anything, I would take a break. I would, you know, once you know the charge, I would find a way to prove yourself innocent, and then I would hightail it out of there, because anyone who's like telling you he's about to kill you for this reason,
right,
we ain't staying married.
Go get Amelia.
So, yeah, go.
She, yeah. Amelia, let me tell you, Amelia is fire and, like, she standing up for herself. She is kind of like the total opposite of Desdemona.
She's
and
the,
like,
one who's with Iago, right?
Correct.
So
and
it's,
she's like,
hilarious.
I'm not gonna take this.
Yeah, it's hilarious to me that her and Iago are together, because, like, he needs this in his life. Evidently,
he needs someone to, like, put him.
He needs someone to just whip him around, because this guy, I can't with
place.
Iago. I cannot. He's a little skeevy, conniving little shrimp. That's how I picture him. But I'm sorry. Again, this really got me going this time. I enjoyed being angry at Othello. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're gonna do a little comparison right now real quick, and talk about a couple that we didn't necessarily get to just yet. So compare the relationship between Othello and Desdemona with that of Cassio and Bianca. How are they healthy and unhealthy?
I honestly don't remember much about Bianca, Devin, if I'm honest. She found the handkerchief and he said it's not a woman's, and she believed him, right? That's basically it.
Well, she is kind of Cassio's, like,
Boothang. Oh, they're not married. Right, yeah, right. I remember. Yep.
Yeah, she really wants to be with
him.
But
he doesn't want
and
that.
And he's like, nah, you're just my
exactly.
girl with benefits.
Okay, so. All right, so comparing this relationship, Othello and Desdemona jumped in way too fast and ended up blowing things up. In comparison, Cassio and Bianca will not commit to anything. And I think it's a very interesting comparison. You know, both Desdemona and Cassio end up not so well in the end of this story. So I don't know if it's necessarily saying either relationship is healthier or not. But I do wish Cassio would commit. It would make things a little bit less chaotic. I think Othello and Desdemona, healthy and unhealthy. I guess Othello and Desdemona are intrigued by each other. That's about the only health I find in this relationship. Mm. And unhealthy, pretty much everything else. They don't trust each other. As far as Cassio and Bianca goes, they're unhealthy because they don't know where their relationship is going, and they just sort of let it lie there. But they're healthy in that I think, and I'm not sure if I'm correct in this, Devin, doesn't mm-hmm. she believe him when he tells her the handkerchief is not to be worried about? So
I believe so.
I think there's some level of trust there that just Othello cannot handle.
Right. But yeah, poor Bianca. She oh kind of gets tossed around because, like, let's be honest, she is a prostitute. Like, that's her role.
It's so sad.
But Cassio just keeps teasing her with, like, yeah, we're going to get married. And, like, nah.
I can't stand people like that. But at least he doesn't freaking try to kill her. So I think at least Correct. He's a little bit higher on the scale.
They are healthy in that they have that, like, passion. And the they have a little bit more foundational. It seems that they have a better... They know each other a little bit deeper mm-hmm. than Othello and Desdemona. So that I'll give them that kind of, like, I'll give them that, the props there.
Mm-hmm.
Unhealthy, their lack of commitment, or how they are just friends with benefits, and or that she wants more and he won't give her the ring, in a sense. Othello and Desdemona, healthy, I think they had tendencies of being healthy. I just don't think it ever stuck.
It never stuck around.
Like, he is a good guy at the very beginning. He does care and support her. He does want to make sure that she has the best life possible, even while he has to go to these and do these things because he's an official general and, like, has to go to these meetings and sort of, like, he wants to care for her. He even makes sure that her best friend goes with her on these things so that way she has someone to talk to and stuff. Like, he cares about her.
Bull crap. He's doing it because he has to. I'm kidding.
But yeah, there's a lot of unhealthiness there too.
Mm-hmm. There really is. But okay, let's talk about the one character I really want to talk about the entire time I've been waiting to, evidently. But shout out time. Let's talk about Iago. Compare Iago with other Shakespearean villains. How does he mm-hmm. rate on the Wicked scale?
You know, this guy,
he's an idiot.
He's top tier in terms of villains. Like, he only has to plant seeds and let everyone else do, like, the dirty work for him. He never gets caught until the very end.
He's very sly.
He's super sly. And he uses his words really well. Like, he's very, like, his thought process of doing things is crazy witty and wild mm-hmm. and how he manages to concoct these plans. And
he's
something
always
might
thinking 10
and something
steps
happens
ahead.
Yeah, something happens and he's like, oh, I can use this, and, like, spins it into his already like forming web. Like, it's really interesting to see, like, how something might come up that might throw him, but he uses it to his advantage in a way. Mm-hmm. In comparison to other Shakespearean villains, I'm trying to remember other Shakespearean villains off the top of my head, so give me one moment to process. I mean, in Romeo and Juliet, I guess Tybalt would be kind of a villain. Tybalt's just pugnacious. He just likes to fight. So he's not, like, super villainy to me.
I think when it comes to comparing to other Shakespearean villains, none of them are as actively involved in the villainous plot. Treachery that he mm-hmm. is. I mean, if you think about the Hamlet's uncle, he did something evil, but it is not like the thing. I guess it is the thing that sets Hamlet off edge, but it's not the thing that is the entire lead of the story.
Correct.
Iago is the main character.
The downfall.
Yeah, exactly. So Iago is the main character in this, and he completely makes up and spins and weaves a tale, like a web of tales, and
mm-hmm.
everyone just eats it up.
Everyone's a puppet.
Yeah. And as far as, like, villains.
He plays everyone like a fiddle.
Right. And as far as, like, villains in Romeo and Juliet, all I can really think of, like you said, I guess, is Tybalt and mostly, like, the two houses. Like, mm-hmm. the people that aren't letting them be together. And that's just a family feud. It's nothing quite as manipulating as Iago is. He is a manipulator. Yeah.
And I don't really remember one in Macbeth.
Lady Macbeth.
Other than Macbeth himself and even Lady Macbeth.
Right.
She's great. Yeah. I mean, as a villain, she's great.
But they're just power hungry. When it comes to Iago, I don't even think he's power hungry. He's just pissed off he didn't get the job.
Right. And what's really interesting is that as a reader, it's part of, like, he didn't get the job. It's part of he heard rumors that Othello slept with Emilia. Like, there's, or maybe was it Cassio? I'm trying to remember. But, like, we're always trying to figure out why he's doing the thing that he's doing. And he always changes his motives. Like, he's never consistent in, like, why he's doing this thing. Which could be that he's just insane and, like, that's his motive.
I think he's crazy. But... I mean, he's interesting as heck, but I think he's nuts.
He's really interesting as a villain. And I really like seeing his character develop and just the web that he spins, man. He is
up in here.
Wicked man.
That's the thing about him. He's up in here. A lot of the Shakespearean villains are very fighting.
She's pointing at her head right now, guys.
Yeah, sorry, I'm pointing at my head. A lot of the Shakespearean villains are very, like, they're going to kill you. They're going to attack you. They're going to do this physical thing. Iago sets everything in motion from his mind. He is very mentally engaged in the villainy that he is engaging in. It's like he's completely just, he's like a puppeteer. He makes everyone else do his dirty work. So it's very interesting.
I mean, even like poor Rodrigo.
Yeah.
He's like, Rodrigo, bring me all your gems. I'll get to your girl. And then he brings him. He's like, okay, Rodrigo, go kill Cassio. And
literally.
Rodrigo does a poor job. So Iago comes in, slashes Cassio's legs and stabs Rodrigo. Like, you suck. Stop.
It's so funny. The whole thing is very funny. I mean, not the Othello bits, but Iago is enjoyable to follow for sure.
He really is.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. So, final question. Do we ship it?
Nope. And no. I would not have a different answer even if he didn't end up killing her. The fact that he couldn't trust her for crap just shows that they weren't ready to be in a relationship. That's
And the poor girl went through so much. Like, he strangled her. He thought she was dead and she wasn't.
And then she pretends to kill herself. And I'm like, are you joking right now? I can't.
Poor girl.
Just a big old nope. And it's great because I don't think we've only had a few no's in the course of this series.
This season.
Most of them are Shakespeare.
Oh,
if
yeah.
You think about it, Romeo and Juliet. I mean, like, I guess did we do Macbeth yet?
We did.
Did we ship them? I think we did just because it was fun.
I don't remember, honestly.
We'll have to listen back. But this couple, no, I don't ship it.
No. Well, we'll have to try and do another comedy maybe next season and see if that changes.
You know what might be fun, Devin?
Midsummer?
Well, yes, but also, like, once we're done with all of the main Shakespeares, like, doing a head-to-head of the Shakespeare couples.
Ooh, comparing them?
I think that would be fun.
But if we already said no to so many, like, does it matter?
Well, I think it does. I think it would be fun, even the ones that we hate. I want to put them up and just say, at least this one's better than that one, you know?
I guess if you're trying to put give someone some props.
Yeah, it would be fun.
It would be fun. Cool. Well, those are our thoughts. So let's hear from our listeners. We have one comment. I mean, Shakespeare's great, but, like, not everyone is super passionate about it. At least not a lot of people on Insta. But Camille is passionate.
Thank you, Camille.
She said, thank you for sending in, Camille. She says, they were actually very cute before Iago got to them. I just think Othello should have talked to his wife.
In all caps. Talk. Ugh.
Communication.
How many, episodes do we have that word just lingering in the background?
And that's literally all this would have been, like, hey, I've heard someone mentioned that you did this with Cassio. Is this true?
Is it true?
Hey, where's your handkerchief? Did you lose it? Or, like, come on. Just have a conversation, people.
Oh, Othello. We can't. But anyway, thank you, Camille, for your comment. I just made Devin yawn through the screen. That's very impressive. But anyway, we thank you all for listening. And if you're ever interested in joining for an episode or sending a comment, reach out at weshipapodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, absolutely. And please, wherever you're listening, rate and review. We love to hear from you.
Yep, and follow us on socials because it's a lot of fun. Instagram mostly. That's really the only thing that we do. But anyway, we love you, shippers. She loved me for the dangers I had passed, and I loved her that she did pity me. Because that's the only quote from Othello I could find. See you next time, guys.
See you guys.